The Lord be with you.
When I was 16, going on 17, my greatest concern was how to keep my girlfriend interested in me. And my biggest challenge to this, in my mind, was a giant pimple. Yeah? Now, because of that, 16-year-old Ben would have no interest in Jesus' first sermon. We hear it today. Jesus goes to his hometown of Nazareth, and he preaches that he is the fulfillment of Isaiah 61, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him because God has anointed him to bring good news to the poor. But 16-year-old Ben wasn't poor. I mean, I was broke in the sense of I didn't have money to spend on frivolous things, but that's not poverty, right? Poverty is struggling to meet your basic needs. My parents satisfied those, no problem. So that good news didn't seem like it was for me. And Jesus says that he has come to proclaim release to the captives and let the oppressed go free. 16-year-old Ben wasn't captive or oppressed by anything, except maybe homework. And Jesus says he has come to bring recovery of sight to the blind. 16-year-old Ben could see. Right, that was exactly the problem. I would look in the mirror and every day I would see this pimple staring right back at me. Jesus does all these good things, but none of them have to do with pimples. So what good news is it for 16-year-old Ben? Now some of you may be thinking, Pastor, this is stretching it. Yeah, how big a problem could this pimple be? You didn't see the pimple, yeah? It was right dead center in my cheek, and it wasn't like a little blackhead. It was this angry red mountain of a pimple jutting out from the side of my face. More than anything, I didn't want my girlfriend to see it. Heck, I didn't want to see it. And if we're honest with ourselves, all of us have things in our lives that we don't want to see. If we're more honest with ourselves, all of us have people that we don't want to see. And a lot of the people that folks don't want to see are the very people that Jesus says he has come to proclaim good news to. The poor, the incarcerated, people with physical ailments. And here in Chico, we got our fair share of folks who match that description living on our very streets. And I will be honest, when I go downtown, I don't like seeing them. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes me feel unsafe. And I will admit that there is a part of me that thinks of the people I see living on the street as an unsightly blemish. And when I hear Jesus say he has come to bring good news, not to me, but to them, I think to myself, why is God pampering the very people I don't want to see? And I will tell you, in high school, I tried pampering that pimple. Oh yeah, I would wash that one spot carefully. I would put special ointments and creams just in that one little place. It didn't make it go away, at least not fast enough for my tastes. So I decided I would try to push the pimple out. Yeah, I figured there's got to be a clog somewhere in there in one of my pores. And if I just apply enough pressure, if I just squeeze it hard enough, it'll pop out and be gone. Yeah? Our city tries this strategy with people living on the street. It figures if we just apply enough pressure, we can push them out, clean up encampments, and they'll leave. So I live near Bidwell Park, just about at 3 Mile. And I have noticed that whenever I see on the news that encampments are being cleared out around downtown, within 2 days, I will take my daughter for a walk right by my house, and those people are now in my neighborhood. What I discovered in high school is no matter how much I squeezed my cheek, no matter how much pressure I would put on it, I could never get deep enough to get that pimple gone. And so one night, in desperation, I decided I would dig it out. I got a pair of tweezers with a real nice sharp point, and I started cutting into that pimple. And I figured, you know, I just cut in until I get deep enough that I clear out what's ever clogging it. just until I can pop it, and then I'll stop. But you know what I found? Is no matter how deep I dug, no matter how much I cut, I couldn't get to the root of it. And so I kept digging late into the night until eventually I no longer had a pimple. I had an open wound in the side of my face, an open wound seeping blood and oozing clear liquid. Paul says, actually, I'll get to Paul in a second. You know what I realized in that moment? I realized I was poor. I was poor in faith. Because I did not believe that I could be loved with an imperfect face. What I've come to realize is, in that moment, I was captive. I was captive to my insecurity about that relationship. And I shouldn't have been, right? Because the girl I was dating was a year older than me. She was about to leave for college anyway. She was very clear she was going to dump me no matter what my face looked like, yeah. But most of all, what I realized is I was blind. I was blind to the truth that the pimple was not something external that was in my face that I could dig out. The pimple was my face. It was my face in distress. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "You are the body of Christ and individually members of it." The people we see living on the street, people who are in and out of jail, people who are suffering physical and mental ailments, they are not some part of our society that can be dug out. They are not a blemish on our face. They are the face of Christ. They are our face. They are the face of our society made visible, and what we see when we look at it is our society is in distress. So many people I know in this congregation have family members who are struggling with homelessness and addiction. There are people in this congregation who themselves have struggled with those very things. The people that we see are not those people. They are us. They are our body. And here's the thing. There are parts of our body sometimes that become cancerous, right? That are dangerous and need to be removed. But there are many parts of our body that are just irritated and inflamed. And if we start irradiating and taking a scalpel to every part of our body that is uncomfortable, we will end up like I did in high school, staring at ourselves, bleeding from the wounds that we have inflicted upon ourselves. Paul writes to the Corinthians that the members of the body that we consider to be weaker are in fact indispensable. That the members of the body we consider less honorable, we clothe in greater honor. That the less respectable members of our body, we show greater respect. Over time, my face healed, but it was a very embarrassing summer. I have come to respect my pimples, yeah? I have come to respect one pimple in particular. It shows up on a regular basis right here on the end of my nose. I've recognized it for about 20 years now, and I've recognized it shows up consistently when I'm dehydrated, right? When I'm not taking care of myself, my nose says, hey, there's a problem, and a little pimple pops up. And if I rest and push fluids, within a day or two, it goes away. No problem. But here's the thing, dehydration, it doesn't just affect that one pimple. It affects my whole body. Every part of my body needs water, but there is only one part of my body that is going to make visible my need for that water. It is my pimple. And what is good for that pimple is good for every single part of my body. Paul says to the Corinthians, because we are all part of one body, when one member of the body suffers, every member of the body suffers. When one member of the body is honored, every member of the body is honored. When Jesus brings good news to one person, it is good news to every person. When Jesus says that he has brought good news to the poor, it is good news for everyone. Because good news for the poor is not pampering people in their poverty. Good news for the poor is eliminating poverty. And in the richest country in the world, eliminating poverty means eliminating our spiritual poverty of failing to believe that God will provide enough for everyone. When Jesus says he has come to bring release for the captives, you don't release someone by unshackling one hand and leaving the other one chained up. For Jesus to release the captives, it means he leads to release the whole body. And in this country, which incarcerates more people than any other country in the world, what that means is we need to be freed from our spiritual captivity, to fear of our neighbors that we don't know. Jesus says he has come to bring sight, recovery of sight to the blind. And what that means in a country where we can't accommodate the physical needs of any person is that we need to recover our spiritual sight to see the value of every person. Because when we see that value, we can suddenly recognize that the oppression people experience in our society is not happening on an individual case. It is caused by a sin that is woven into the fabric of our society that affects every single one of us. It's just that some of us make more visible what is affecting all of us. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." That word anointed, in Greek, it's literally Christ. Christ means anointed. Jesus is saying that God has made him Christ to bring good news to the poor. But friends, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, which means you have been anointed by God to do this work, not by yourselves, but together as one body. And here at Faith Lutheran, in the next 2 weeks, we have countless opportunities to do just that. Today, after worship, there's a group of people who are going to be meeting in room 7-8 to talk about how we can continue the type of work we did with that coat drive of gathering material goods for young people who are struggling with homelessness. On the first Tuesday of the month, Elise Gladue is once again going to train another crew of people to make dinners at the Torres shelter for 120 people trying to get off the streets. The first and third Friday of each month, we have in our parking lot a food bank. Come between 3 and 5 p.m. and help hand out food to people who need it. And for the next 2 weeks, our fellowship hall will become a low-barrier shelter known as Safe Space. If you want to get involved with that, I encourage you to talk to March Troster. We do these things not only because it helps people in need, but because it helps us. And so I want to invite you over the next 2 weeks to find a ministry that you can participate in, not just so that you can proclaim good news to someone else, but so that you can discover it for yourself. You see, when you help alleviate the poverty of someone else, May God help alleviate your spiritual poverty and help you believe that God will provide enough for you. When you go and meet someone who has been in and out of jail, may the Holy Spirit release you from captivity to fear of people who have taken a different path in life than you have. When you care for someone who has physical needs that are different than your own, may the Holy Spirit open your eyes to see that we are all part of the body of Christ. And recognizing that we are all members of the body of Christ, when you look at your face in the mirror, or you look at our society on the streets, may you love what you see. Not because it's perfect, but because it is part of you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.